behold, a fiendish masterpiece.
This is Picking with the Pickers. For years, every Friday morning during football season, you've heard legends pick their picks.
Steve Crop Killer B.
Daniel Tucker.
Rob Schneider.
Dave Mason.
Arsenio
Hall.
Daniel.
It's time to pick the brains of the picker as they tell their tales and pick their picks. Picking with the Pickers is presented by Landmark Bank, Pickers Vodka, and Tallboy Marketing. And now, here are the hosts of Picking with the Pickers, Greg Pogue and John Burton.
I'm feeling it.
Friday morning, picking with the Pickers, Landmark Bank, and Tallboy Marketing, and Pickers Vodka, certainly. And returning to the show, of course, the Love Boat, but so much more. Screenwriter, director, playwright, cool dude, Ted Lund's with us. Ted, good morning. Welcome back.
Greg and John, how are you guys doing?
We are wonderful.
Ted, I cannot tell you what an honor it is for me to talk to you, my man, because The Love Boat was must-see TV in the Burton household growing up as a kid. Every Saturday night, had to get your dinner down, had to get your bath, put on your PJs, and we were heading down to the family room to watch The Love Boat and see my man, the great Isaac the bartender. So it is an honor and privilege to talk to you.
Well, John, thank you very much. I'm glad and happy to be a part of your life, my friend.
A huge part. Just the concept of that show, right, Greg? You know, going on a cruise, single people going on a cruise to hopefully find the love of their lives. I mean, that's kind of a cool concept, you know? I mean, we should all be so lucky, right, Ted?
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, and you saw the world, no matter where, you know, you got on the boat and you went, you could go around the world, you know, yeah, no, that was a good, and then every woman was beautiful.
Oh, my gosh, man, yeah. I'm sitting there as a young kid like, wow, you know, just staring at the TV like, wow, she's
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, straight, man, we had a good time.
I was going to say, it probably wasn't hard to go to work every day, huh, Ted? With all those beautiful women walking around.
That was a delight, you know?
and of course, we're going to get to so many things. Last time you were in Nashville, your lady Patriot play was at Fisk University, and just such success with that. You've written, I think, 17, 18, 20 different plays. But the thing...
We're up to 25 now.
Oh, my gosh. We'll go update your Wikipedia page.
Yeah, we're up to 25 plays, man.
Wow.
I can't believe it myself.
But the relationship with Gavin McLeod was mentor, friend, and more than just the show, and stayed that way, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, he's a great guy, and, you know, he did a play not too long ago out in Palm Springs, and all of the cast, we all went out to see him in this play, you know? So the great thing is you make friends. You don't realize it, but sometimes you make friendships that last a lifetime. you know, and I see Bernie regularly, and Fred and I did a play about a year ago, 2 years ago. So, yeah, you know, we were very fortunate to have each other.
Ted, what's the creative process when you start writing a play and you come up with an idea and a concept? That's got to be a lot of fun.
Well, I like to research. So, like, I like to do historical plays. Lady Patriot was a historical play about a slave girl who was a spy for the Union Army. And, I mean, just the idea of that, that some black slave girl who no one knew could read and write, and then she had the, you know, the courage to spy on Jeff Davis. I mean, that was fantastic. I got four plays right now up on YouTube, and two of them are historically based. One is called Shakespeare Over My Shoulder. So if you go to YouTube, type in my name, and then put in the title of the play, Shakespeare Over My Shoulder. You'll see my latest play. And that whole thing is based on the idea that who really wrote the Shakespearean plays. I don't know if you've ever heard that some people say, well, Shakespeare didn't write those plays, you know. So when the idea gets a hold of me, and then I just start researching, and then a play, I figure out how to present it as a play.
And you got one. What, Satchmo now? And I'm such a huge Louis Armstrong fan. Louis Armstrong, and I mean, I can even take you back to the 20s when he was just starting down there. But that, you know, talk about a historic play with one of the 20th century's most iconic personalities, Satchmo at the Waldorf. Tell us about that.
Okay, so the great thing about the COVID, if there's anything great, is you can do a play now, put it on the internet, and then people in Nashville can go see it, you know, without me having to bring a tour into Nashville. So this play called Satchmo at the Waldorf is going to be on the internet on February 19th, and it's going to be from the 19th to the 28th. And all you do is you go to AmericanStage.org, O-R-G, and you can see the play. And I got this wonderful actor named L. Peter Callender, and we're rehearsing right now, and we're getting ready for February 19th. So that's what I'm working on right now. And I'll film it starting on February 8th. It'll be ready by the 19th.
Ted, how much fun is it to stay active, you know, in the L.A. scene? And like I said, just creating these different things and collaborating with people. It's got to be a lot of fun. It's got to be, you know, just a worthwhile thing to get out of bed every morning to know that you have these wonderful projects that you're working on.
And I can stay in my PJs. Because we do it on Zoom. We rehearse on Zoom. And yesterday, the stage manager, L. Peter Callender, and myself, I said, hey, man, you got on your pajamas? He goes, yeah, I'm sorry, man. And then the stage manager said, I got on my pajamas, too. And then I had on my pajamas. And so I said, well, this COVID thing, you know, it's hard to get out of. You know, you get up out of the bed and you go downstairs, have your coffee, and that's it. You're rehearsing, man. So that's the good news. That's the good news, you know?
How much Isaac?
Are you guys at the radio station?
Yeah, we're here. We're in studio. Yeah, I don't know how smart that is, but we're here.
Well, do you have to wear masks with each other while you're in the room there?
No, we're about 6 feet apart, yep. Hey, we're doing the interview here, Ted.
Okay, wait. But I want to ask you one thing. Remember, right. You guys took me out to lunch,
right?
At that, it was a hotel, right?
Yeah, it's one of our great sponsors, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Yes.
Oh, man, that was really great. Next time I'm back in Nashville, I'm going there, man.
Yeah, we're all going to get together.
Our treat.
Yeah, it's on us. Don't worry, we got you covered.
Yeah, man. That was good. That was good. You guys treated me royally. Thank you, by
well,
the way.
And then you came to our...
But I didn't even have to mix you a drink. That was
good. But how much... And that's the... How much of Isaac... Because people can fall into such stereotypes.
Sure, sure.
You know,
we just lost Dawn Wells, and, you know, she'll forever be Marianne to me.
Yeah.
You know, I was always in love with her, and I always will be, you know.
Yeah. Dawn did a love boat, you know.
Wow. That's right. I remember that. I watched
that. Yeah, yeah. She was a real sweet girl, and she was just as nice as you can be. She was gorgeous in person. And she was telling me Gilligan Island stories, you know what I mean?
I can imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was really nice. And so that's a sad deal that she passed away.
I was reading a story that when Love Boat was on a hiatus, you went to London's Royal College of Dramatic Art to study, and Lynn Redgrave, who had been on the Love Boat, wrote the recommendation. So how much, you know, obviously Isaac, the Ted Isaac, opens the door, but what you're so about is so much more. How do you balance who you are for so many millions of people from that, you know, famous TV show to what you're doing, you know, with all the screenwriting, directing, acting, coming down and doing all the stuff in your pajamas? How do you separate all that?
You're funny. Well, it's easy to balance when you know you don't have to get out of your pajamas. That's the first thing. And the other thing is I was very lucky in high school. I'm going to tell you this now about teachers. You know, we're talking about teachers, and my wife is a teacher, and she's teaching online. She teaches art. And I'm so thankful that when I was in high school, my high school drama teacher, he is the person that told me, you know, I think you're talented, and I think you should try to have a career in show business. And I watched him. I mean, he not only taught, but he taught drama. He taught us the history of different plays, and he also wrote sketches for the drama classes to do for the student body. So I think part of who I am was influenced by my drama teacher, Tom Wayne, and I watched him, and he directed Shakespeare plays. He did all the things, but he did it in the community of my high school, and I think that translated for me when I got older to say, well, you know, my high school drama teacher directed Macbeth. My high school drama teacher wrote a sketch about James Bond, 007. And so I just started, you know, finding things that I liked, and I started doing it myself. So my huge influence is the experience that I had when I was in high school, and then it went on to me being in college. And then I took that, and Lynn Redgrave was saying to me, she did a guest shot on Love Boat, and we were throwing Shakespearean phrases at each other, and she said, you should go to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. Mm. And I said, well, Lynn, you know, that's school, going back to school. Why would I do that? I'm already where I want to be. She says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm on television in America. I'm famous, and I'm making a lot of money. Why would I want to go back to school? And Lynn Redgrave says, oh, I thought you were an actor.
Wow.
And I went, you know, I am. She said, no, I get it. You don't think you can learn anymore, and you think you know everything about Shakespeare. So that's what I investigated, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, which is what the school she was talking about. And I applied, and they said, we want a letter of recommendation. And so I went back to Lynn, and I said, Lynn, I'm going to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. She goes, you are? And I go, yes, I'm an actor.
A thespian, so if you will, right?
She wrote me a letter. She was very kind. She was very sweet.
Well, Ted,
yeah, that was a good time.
I'll bet it was.
Yes, sir.
I hate to keep bringing up Love Boat questions, but I have so many.
Go.
So, did you actually know how to bartend before you got the part of Isaac on the Love Boat? Did you have to learn?
Not one lick. I didn't know anything. And if you watch the first season, you can see that I'm sticking umbrellas into blended drinks because I didn't know how to pour a drink. And so, but after the first year, I then went and did the homework, and I went to bartending school. They gave me two certificates upon graduation, one for Ted Lange and one for Isaac Washington. And the one for Isaac Washington, I hung up in the Acapulco Lounge. So it was fun. It was fun, you know. But no, I did, you know, some actors when they're growing up, they're bartending or they're being a waiter or, you know what I mean? But I didn't do any of that. I was very fortunate in that respect that I didn't have to make the living. So when I walked in, I didn't know anything about bartending, you know. And I had to gradually learn how to do the dish. So now I know how to peel a lemon for drinks and, you know, which way you cut up a lime, you know, which drinks have olives, which drinks don't. You know, I had to learn all of the things and how you mix a drink.
Have you ever been approached to open a bar in Southern California?
Wow, great question.
Huh?
No, oh, yeah, I should have. That's something I should have done when we were at the height. Oh, yeah. No, I never did. But the thing that did happen is every time I went to a restaurant or a bar, the bartender would send over their drink, their special drink, you know, because these guys create drinks all the time. And I would get plotzed all the time. I couldn't say no. They say, hey, try this. Isaac, try this, try this. I go, hey, that's pretty good. Let me have another one. So I would get plotzed, which was tough on my dates when your girlfriend has to put you under her shoulder and carry you out.
Ted Lange with us. He, of course, Isaac Love Boat, back with us once again. And we really, and you owe us a return visit to the music
scene. Yeah, I gotta meet you, man. That's a bucket list thing for me, to meet the great Ted Lange.
We did the show pre-COVID down at Kitchen Notes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't on the show yet when you the last time you visited.
But,
so.
But we went and had lunch right there where we were doing the show. It was a parade.
Oh, I can imagine.
Of people coming up, wanting to get his picture, wanting to get an autograph. I did this and I did that.
Yeah.
And it, not the love, I was just looking. I'm just going to name, I mean, that's my mama, Fantasy Island, Charlie's Angels, In the Heat of the Night, Family Matters, King of Queens, General Hospital.
Celebrity Fit Club.
Psych. Celebrity Fit Club.
Yeah, you lost, according to Wiki, you lost 30 pounds doing Celebrity Fit Club, right, Ted?
I had to work that weight off, you know?
What'd they say, you lost like 28 pounds on your run at Celebrity Fit Club?
Yeah, man, I did pretty good.
Atta boy. Good job.
Yeah, it was good. We had fun. You know, your competition, I played football, so the competition... You know, you know that mentality of teamwork and, you know, hoping that your team wins, you know?
Sure, and that competitive spirit. All three of us were ex-athletes, so we get it.
Yeah. So that kicked in when I was doing Celebrity Fit Club because I played football and stuff when I was younger in high school, yeah.
Ted, I wanted to ask you about...
I did a number of things.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you about just, you know, what you're doing now, being a screenwriter, a director, and a guy that, you know, creates in Hollywood. And, you know, it does my heart good to see so many African-Americans getting opportunities now. And, you know, it kind of started with Spike Lee and John Singleton in the early 90s for me, as far as my awareness of it. And you see a guy like Ryan Coogler, who's doing great things. I just watched Fruitvale Station a few weeks ago, and obviously he did
Yeah, that guy's talented.
Yeah, and I mean, he did Black Panther, and he did the first Creed movie. How good does it make you feel to see African-Americans get more opportunities to be on the creative side of filmmaking?
I love it. As a matter of fact, I'm working with a guy now, Lloyd Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd Schwartz. His dad with Sherwood Swartz.
Mm.
And we're working on a new television series called Blood and Gertz. And it's about a stand-up team, a black guy and a white guy. Lloyd Swartz used to be a writer on Gilligan's Island, and his dad created the Brady Bunch.
Right.
So he and I are working now on a sitcom. We're going to do a pilot, and the sitcom is called Blood and Gertz, and it's about the world of stand-up comedy,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a black comic and a white comic, and it's all their trials and tribulations together on how they try to start to work as a team and trying to be funny. So I'm very fortunate in that, I meet people that like my sense of humor and that we get to, make a half-hour sitcom, or I write a play. Lloyd also writes plays, and he has me direct his plays. So, yeah, it's fun. What happens is you learn your craft, and as you learn your craft, more and more people recognize that, and then they call on you to use your expertise, you know?
Sidney Poitier, is he the one that opened the door for most African-Americans,
yeah,
you think?
Yeah, and before him, there was a guy named James Edwards. If you ever see the movie Patton, there's a black guy at the end of the movie that helps George C. Scott. He's kind of like his major domo. And in the 50s, before Sidney was the 60s, James Edwards was the 1950s, and he did a film called Home of the Brave and some other things. But and my father knew him. I met Jimmy Edwards when I was a kid because my father was a stage actor in Los Angeles, and he was good friends with Jimmy Edwards. But James Edwards became the go-to guy, and then he passed the baton on to Sidney Poitier, and Sidney is the guy that did it in the 60s who, you know, got Jim Brown and guys like that, you know, opened the door for all of those guys, Brock Peters. And,
Fred Williamson, the Hammer.
Yep.
Fred Williamson, the Hammer, yeah, you know. So, and then 70s. 70s was when everything just shot open. I mean, you know, that was amazing. But those guys carry the torch to that moment, yeah.
One of the greatest lines in The Heat of the Night, Spencer Tracy, the Southern backward cop, the Philadelphia policeman, Sharp, he asks Sidney Poitier, what do they call you back in Philadelphia? And they said, they call me Mr. Tibbs.
That's Rod Steiger. Rod Steiger.
Rod Steiger. Yeah,
great
excuse
actor.
Me. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He won an Academy Award for that, didn't he?
Right. Yes, he did. Rod Steiger. I mean,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Although he looks like Spencer Tracy.
He was doing that gum. Do you remember that? He was doing that gum.
What a great movie.
Yeah, that was fun.
Ted, I got one more Love Boat question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
My favorite episode was the one you did with the Pointer Sisters, and you were going to be a singer, and you got on stage, and you got stage fright, and the Pointer Sisters had to take over the song, that famous song, He's So Shy.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
What was it like working with those ladies?
Well, you know, I told you I was in high school and I did the play Macbeth in high school. Anita Pointer, the Pointer Sisters, was Lady Macbeth.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
We were friends growing up in high school, not knowing that 20 years later or whatever, we would be working professionally. We worked together as high school students, and then later on, I wrote that episode with the Pointer Sisters.
That was
and
a great
back
episode.
Then it was kind of tough. It was, it was a tough for a black performer. And so what I did was, I had a writing partner named Gene Ford, and there was, you could submit something to the producers, but that there was no guarantee that A, they would show it to the network, or B, that the network would accept the idea. So what I did was I worked around the producers, and I went to the network because the network had an Asian lady in charge of the scripts for the Love Boat. So I booked an appointment with her, went in and talked to her, and I said, hey, I got an idea for the Pointer Sisters to be on the Love Boat. And I said, but I know there's no guarantee. Do you think that's a good idea? She says, I love the Pointer Sisters. Write it, and I'll make sure that we accept it. So then I went to the producers on our show, and I said, I got an idea for the Pointer Sisters to appear on the Love Boat. And they said, who are the Pointer Sisters? And so I bought in all of these records, and I said, you know, they're kind of famous, Beverly Hills Cops, Car Wash. And I go, oh, well, hey, that might be a good idea. And so they wrote the episode. My partner, Gene, and I, we wrote the episode. We gave it to them, and they said, listen, Ted, I know you want this black story in the show, but there's no guarantee that the network is going to say yes. I said, just do me a favor. Submit it and see what they say. And he said, okay, we're going to submit it, but we don't guarantee anything. And then a week later or a month later, whatever it was, they came back and said, hey, the network liked this. And I said, oh, fantastic. And so that's how that show came about. That's how we ended up doing that story.
Great show.
So thank you for liking it, and you didn't even know it, but I wrote it, and you liked it.
That was awesome.
Well, so, you know, we could probably, John, could you go over all 246 episodes of The Love Boat?
No, with listen to you guys.
We've got about a half hour left in the show. I think I could squeeze it in.
Yeah. I can't even do that, and I was there.
Yeah, I'm one of those weird kids. I can't remember if I took my vitamins this morning, Ted, but I can remember, you know, a Love Boat episode from when I was like 10 or 11, so.
I love it. That's great, man. I love it.
Hey, Ted, we could do this all day, and we just might, but we need to pick some football games. You been watching much of the NFL this fall?
A little bit, yes, I have.
Oh, here we go.
So, what do you want to know? You want to know who's going to win?
Yes. It's Championship Sunday coming up.
And we go by the spread because everybody bets these days.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's true.
Saturday afternoon, 2:05 on Fox. Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. Green Bay at home with Aaron Rodgers. The Packers are 3.5-point favorites. Who do you like, Ted?
I like the Packers. I think the Packers are going to do that one.
I'm going to go with, what's the line?
Three and a half. That hook.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I'm going to take the Bucks. I like the Packers to win by a field goal, but I will take the Bucks to cover the 3.5.
I'm going with Ted.
I'm never right, Ted. I'm just a gas bag. I just try to sound like I know what I'm talking about.
I'm going with Ted because I think he likes your questions more than mine. So I'm going
to
try to get back in.
Don't be jealous, Greg.
And then 5:40 on CBS. Of course, John's the CBS sports anchor, the affiliate here, News Channel 5. Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are 3-point favorites.
So, listen, I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going with the Bills.
Mm.
Okay, Buffalo. Now, you know why I'm going with Buffalo?
I have no idea.
When I was in Buffalo, they took me to that stadium. They gave me a box, and they treated me like a king.
So go Bills.
Yeah, man. I want Buffalo. They gave me swag. I got me a Buffalo shirt, Buffalo Bills shirt, and all kinds of stuff, scars and everything, man. They treated me like a king. So I'm looking for a Buffalo to do the job.
All right, Ted. Well, you know, it's funny because a big part of me would love to see the Bills win. I'm from upstate New York. Born and raised, grew up 3 hours east of Buffalo.
What city?
I was born in Rome, New York, and so it's about 40 miles east of Syracuse, Ted.
And it's not a city.
I play in Syracuse with Fred Grandy Gopher.
Is that right?
At a theater called the Red House Theater in Syracuse.
I know where that is. I used to live in Syracuse.
Fred Grandy and I did I'm Not Rappaport together.
Wow.
It was our little Love Boat reunion. We did it in Syracuse.
That's awesome. Well, that's my home region. And, you know, I used to live in Buffalo. I used to cover the Bills. I had a pretty good relationship with, like, you know, Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, Jim Kelly. I know I'm rambling a little bit.
But...
And a big part of me wants to see the...
You're leaving them for the Chiefs.
He's headed that way, isn't he?
Let me explain. I feel like Kevin Hart here. Let me explain.
Yeah, let me hear this.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that Patrick Mahomes is going to play on Sunday, and for that reason, I am taking the Chiefs, and I will lay the points. But a big part of me would love to see the Bills win this game.
Well, I got news for you, buddy. The Bills is going to come out of nowhere. They're going to come out of nowhere, and they're going to win this. And I want you to call me back.
I will call you back. See, I'm jealous because Charlie and Greg have your number, and I don't. Well, and they were bragging about it yesterday.
Yeah, well, if the Bills win, you have permission to call me back, and we're going to talk about that game.
we're going to do it Monday morning. If they win Sunday afternoon, Sunday night.
And I will eat a big plate of crow. How about that?
Well,
okay, that's a deal.
Well, after that, I'm sure the hell hoping the Bills win so we can have Ted back on the show.
Exactly. Go Bills.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll talk again. Yeah, man.
Ted, you're setting the record here for the longest Picking with the Picker segment. We love it, man. It was great getting to know you when you were here the last time, and when all this crap's over,
come back and see us,
and we'll do it upright.
All right, absolutely, my friends.
All right, thank you, Ted.
Take care, Ted.
To you guys.
All right.
Right. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Bye, bye, Ted.
To those games.
Yeah. Go Bills.
Right. Hey. Talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
Ted Lange.
That didn't suck at all, did it?
No. Let's take us out, Charlie.
Life's sweetest reward. Let it flow. It floats back to you. An open smile on a friendly shore.